I suspect we're going to have similar data with sorafenib, where the dose escalation studies suggest that there are a proportion of patients, albeit it seems large in the study presented, and I suspect it's going to be smaller, that need to have an escalation of sorafenib to maximize their response.
Are you talking about the Amato paper
Yes.
that's being presented here? Can you talk a little bit about that? I thought that was fascinating.
Well, yeah, it's a fascinating set of data. I think that essentially what Dr. Amato did was designed a study where started on a standard dose of sorafenib, 400 milligrams twice a day for patients. They all got it for 1 month, and at review at a month, if they did not have a particular criteria of toxicity, they escalated to 600 twice a day, and then after another month to 800 twice a day. By far, a majority of patients were able to escalate to this total dose of 1,600 a day. He reports in a decent-sized, albeit phase 2 dose escalation cohort, a very high complete response rate and very high partial response rate. And Dr. Figlin, in reviewing this yesterday, made the point that we haven't seen this with TKIs to this point. And I think that does make it very interesting.
By high, I saw that as over 50%.
Oh, it's a 75% overall response rate. And, of course, if one looks at the target study as a standard for sorafenib, the investigator-reported response rate was 10%, with the other studies done with sunitinib really between 30 and 40% partial responders in those studies. I think we're closer to the line where you won't be able to increase sunitinib much anymore in patients related to their toxicity, mainly fatigue in my practice. And also, I think they did a more complete phase 1 set of studies for sunitinib where they got closer to true toxicity. When the phase 1s were done with sorafenib, which is now some time ago, hand, foot, diarrhea and hypertension were not managed. They were actually, people were taken off rather than managed through them. So we may have settled at a lower dose for sorafenib anyway than could have been delivered. And I think it's likely that there'll be factors related to the metabolism of sorafenib and also sunitinib that will predict what dose we should give, maybe of each of these drugs, and certainly it appears to be of sorafenib. And then there are other factors about the development of major toxicities, particularly hand-foot syndrome, that seem to relate both to the organism, the person that we're treating, where there are personal propensities for them to develop this. I think related to, for example, the way blockade of, let's argue that VEGF receptor 2 or RAF kinase inhibitions in the hand and feet are the cause of this, that some people will be more sensitive to this because of their genetic makeup by whatever factor than others. It may relate to race. When I travel to different parts of the world, some people, perhaps in Asia, report a very high rate of early hand-foot syndrome with a slightly different course to what we see in our European or, as a translation, American-born Chinese people, you know, who have sort of come here. There is a sleuth of factors that may be important there. And the other thing that's interesting, and we'll see this with the sorafenib hepatocellular cancer data that's also being presented at the plenary today, that their rate of hand-foot syndrome in that disease is much lower than we see in kidney patients with the same, exactly the same schedule of drug. And so from that perspective, the axis of side effects may be predicated on what your primary tumor is. And we know that, for example, the VEGF axis throughout the body of patients with kidney cancer is different to people with hepatocellular carcinoma. Does it relate to the fact that hepatocellular carcinoma is not predisposed to by von Hippel-Lindau mutation or methylation or whatever? Perhaps that's probably oversimplified. And it could also be investigator and study specific. But we've got quite a complicated disease management paradigm where, for whatever reason, sorafenib is given at a dose that's tolerable by most people with renal cancer, hepatocellular carcinoma, and the lung trials, lung carcinoma, with a particular rate of side effects and a particular rate of disease control.
So this strategy of dose escalation of sorafenib, is that something you think is reasonable to do in clinical practice at this point?
Well, no. I want to see the study expanded. It's going to Stanford, Omaha, and I think also New Jersey. And I want to see it done in other places. Dr. Amato's practice in Houston, I think, probably has a significant fly-in effect in that people will come there to go on trials. Houston, for years, has been a center where people have gone to. These other centers are very good centers with immense reputation in kidney cancer trials. They've each published in other areas, and I think there may be more regional effect for those patients in a slightly different population. And then I think we need to look at the whole issue of dose scheduling. And I suspect that what is going to occur is there's going to be some sort of comparative study done looking at people who don't dose escalate initially and some sort of arm versus dose escalation. There are several other schedules out there. There's an NCI schedule of Monday to Friday sorafenib with a weekend off as sort of intermittent scheduling. It's sort of a variant on the 4 week on, 2 week off sunitinib schedule. And it may be that in actual fact what happens when you give an intermittent schedule of these drugs is that you get a higher response rate with better tolerability. And recollect that the sunitinib schedule really came out of an inability to deliver 50 milligrams per day to people continuously. We have the 37.5 milligram data, which initially looked like it had a lower response rate, but what Dr. Srivanus and colleagues have demonstrated there is that the response comes, it's just slower. And the kinetics of delivering a continuous dose are therefore extremely interesting and not something that I necessarily understand. Why should a break with a higher peak dose produce a better shrinkage of disease or a quicker shrinkage of disease than a continuous one? And we may see that with sorafenib. And so an intermittent schedule at a higher dose might not be a bad idea. It may actually ameliorate some of the toxicities we see and may be possible.